Christian music is wonderful. It'll confirm you and affirm you, but it won't make you grow. Christian jewelry is nice. It helps you to identify as who you are, but it won't make you grow. You can put a bumper sticker on your car about Jesus. That's nice. I've got one. I've got a license plate thing, but I tell you, it won't help me grow. Even attending church, you have to remember, even the mafia go church every weekend. Would you write in that last bullet, the Bible makes us grow.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. When you become a born-again Christian, you begin to march to the beat of a different drum. You develop new desires and new motivations. But there's growth that needs to take place. After all, we are a work in progress, and some of us need a lot more work than others. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will be talking about some new choices that we need to be making. Here he is with part two of the message, A Different Drum.
You see, even though you're around people that think so different, sometimes you're thinking the way a citizen should, but after a while you go, man, everybody's thinking this way. Maybe I should. Everybody's doing it. You've heard that. Maybe I should. And what God is saying is don't change the way you think. Make sure you're thinking like a citizen of heaven and stay with the truth. Even though after a while you think, what is going on? Stay with the truth, because the Bible says one day it'll come around, the truth will stand. The truth will stand. Yeah, you're going to be in a place where, you know, the forces, the vortex, or as it were, pulls you. But here's how the enemy works, and it's so insidious. He'll tempt you to do his thing. And when you buckle your knees and do it, he laughs at you. How many times your friends will be around, they'll say, come on, do this, do that. And he's, no, I'm a Christian. Nah, come on. And you do it, and they go, what? I thought you was one Christian. Well, look what you're doing now. It's interesting where people have that sense where, come on, and they pull you, and as soon as you buckle your knees, they nail you. That happened when I was 32 years old. I remember it was almost like the first time I actually shook hands with the devil. I was just a year or so into pastoring in Hilo, and a Monday morning, I went into the office, and I thought, I'll just have a little quiet time. And I was in the office studying when a guy that I don't know where he came from walked right into the office, walked right through the doors, came through my, opened the door, and just starts berating me. He just starts saying, you so stupid. Not only you, all you church people, you say this and you don't do it. How come you don't do this? And I, you know, you're thinking, you got to be nice to this guy. So yes, thank you. Very good. Yes. And so I thought, you know, he'd be gone, but he kept going. 45 minutes. Kept nailing me. And you should do it. You guys not doing this. And 45 minutes. By this time, I'm getting a little tired on the inside. And he's wearing me down. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're done, dude. Get out of here. On the outside, yes, hallelujah. After 45 minutes, he starts on my wife. And he says, and that holy woman you married, what's she doing here in Hawaii? Tell her, go back to her own place. And that's it, man. I stood up and I looked, and I used different words that I'm going to tell you. But I said, why don't you go to a very warm place immediately? That's what I said. I'm not going to translate that for you. This is church. And then I said, and be cautious on your way out so the door doesn't collide with the anterior portion of your anatomy as you exit. And so I said, you know, and I just went off on him. And when I did, rawr, he turned, and this is the first time, I tell you, it's like I shook hands with the devil right then, because he looked at me and a smile came over his face, almost like, I wore you down, you buckled your knees, you're not all you're cracked up to be. You're still wet behind the ears. And he walked out. And I thought, I just saw the devil. Never saw the guy, you know, after that. I mean, he was around the town, but then he moved and went on out. But I thought, oh, man. And those people will come back around. And you'll even think, you know, they'll say they're Christians. But there's something about it. There's something that mixes in, and it can be really dangerous. I almost remember hearing him as he went out humming, "Welcome to my world." But you know, there's such a vortex and a pull, and God is saying, be careful because you'll get sucked into your old ways. Don't slip back into it. Well, you say, well, how do I know then who I'm supposed to be? What will give me the direction that I'm supposed to be thinking and living? Would you write in that bullet there, the Bible is my guidebook. The Bible is my guidebook. That's what will give you the way. Let's read Psalm 119. Go. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the next one, the grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Yeah, thy word is a lamp unto my path, a light unto my path. What it's saying is the Bible is that which guides you and shows you the way to go. Stay with that, even though others might pull you away. Listen, our first and primary identity is not what others say about us, it's what the Bible is saying about us. That's your first and primary responsibility, because that's the real you. This is a mirror of the citizens of heaven, how they should look. And when you look into the Word, that says, that's you. Now, I might say, but that's not me yet, but that's you, isn't it? Yeah, help me to become that. Because see, that's how God speaks to you. He speaks to you as a son and a daughter of the Most High. He treats you as someone that you're not yet, in order that you might become that. And that's what this is. This is your guidebook. But not only do we think differently, how is it that we can have such 100% heart that way, Lord? Because I sometimes wish more heart was that way. Mm-hmm. You have to remember, number two, would you write in, that we not only think differently, we have a different motivation. We have a different motivation. We're not motivated to follow God because of a fear of punishment. Fear is not the way God uses. Sometimes, and I came through a church that was pretty strong and legalistic, and they figured the way to get us kids to comply to their wishes is they would just tell us that we're going to hell if we don't do what they say. Yeah, I mean, one of the times they said, Jesus is going to come back and you don't know the day or the moment he comes back. So what if you're sinning when he comes back? You might go to hell. So if he comes back and you're in a movie that's rated R, you won't go to heaven. You're going to hell. All of a sudden, no, I don't want to go to movies. I don't want to go to any movie because he might come back when I'm in the movie and he might not like the movie. And so out of fear, you start to... But you know, the thing about fear is fear might change your present action, but it never changes the human heart. And so God is saying, I need to change your motivation. It's not fear, because it'll change your present action. You'll shape up, but it won't change your heart. Just like the little four-year-old kid that was standing up on the pew and the mother says, sit down. He says, I can't see. And he stands back. She says, sit down. And he stands back. I can't see. She says, sit down. You stand up one more time, I'll go slap your head. He says, well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. You see, the fear of punishment might change your present action, but it never changes the human heart. God had to find a way to change the human heart. I remember when I was in the fifth grade, her name was Miss Ann Clifford. She was the tallest teacher I'd ever seen. She was 3 cubits and 1 span tall. I mean, she's like from the tribe of Goliath. This woman was like 9 foot 10 inches tall. And she would look at you and her eyes would pierce right through you. But one day I was poking my friend in front of me with the pencil, you know, and he's writing, hey, knock it off. Knock it off. But smoke again. So he goes, hey! And then Miss Clifford saw me. And she gets up all 14 feet of her mask. Now starts walking toward me. And she had this red felt tip marker in her hand. And I'm sitting there. She walks up to me. She takes that red felt tip marker and she marks my hand like this. And she said, next time, it's blood. You know? I thought it was Sasquatch, man. Off she went. I thought, man, no way am I going to poke my friend no more in this class. But the next class was another teacher, and I poked my friend again. See, fear changes your present action, but it don't change your heart. So God had to do a new motivation so that we're not just conformed to Christians, so we look like Christians, act like Christians, but inside we're worldly. No, he had to change the heart. How are you going to do it? You got to change the motivation. So how does he change? He talks about a reverent fear, not a negative fear, a reverent fear of God, which is a deep respect because of something that they have benefited you by. That's that word, that healthy, respectful fear. And this is what he says. Let's read it. Go. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners here on earth. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. You see, what God is saying is this: we were naturalized citizens in this world. And under the prince and the power of this world, we were held. We were held as slaves or in prison. There's no way to get out of it. We're doomed. But he, wanting to ransom us because of his love for us, he bankrupted heaven in order to set us free. He gave everything he had. And the Bible says he didn't pay for your ransom and mine with dollars and cents. He gave up everything he had. Do you know it was God's love for you and me that caused him to create the universe? If it weren't for us, why would he create? It'd be useless. He did all of this, even this beautiful earth, for us because of a love relationship that he has with his people. God loves us so much that when he saw that we were caught in this world, he ransomed us by the blood of Jesus Christ, his own son. He gave him up so that we might be set free and have the choice to leave and become citizens of heaven. That's how much he loved us. Now, I want you to watch this. His sacrifice was so infinitely valuable that it wasn't like just barely enough to grant forgiveness. Oh, no. It was so much that he gave for you and yours and my ransom, that his blood not only gave forgiveness, because you see, you can forgive but not change heart. You can say, okay, I got you out of prison. You were in for 20 to 40 years and I got some contacts. I got the ambassador and senators and whatever. A pardon was given to you. Great. You have been forgiven. Great, the criminal says, super, I don't have to spend 40 years behind bars. Yeah, you're forgiven, great. But he still has a heart of a criminal. He's forgiven, but didn't change his heart. Now watch, his blood, his ransom was so infinitely valuable and so powerful, it didn't just pay for our forgiveness, it paid for the transformation of that heart. And so God's blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, was not only to set us free, it was to transform our hearts. So that's why now when we understand how much God loves us, not only am I thankful for being forgiven, my heart has been transformed because I know how much he loves me. That's the ransom he paid, everything. When I grew up, my dad and mom divorced at an early age, and my mom worked at the Flamingo restaurant for quarter tips. She would bring home tips in her pocket at night, coming home real late. That's how we bought lunch. That's how I bought school clothes. We're very poor. And it was out of the tips that she would get and bring home. And after a while, I realized how much my mother loved me, that she would have given her own eyes to her son if he would just have more vision, or her own heart if he would learn compassion. She was willing to give anything for her kids. And after a while, when I realized how much my mom loved me, then the last thing in the world I wanted to do was displease her. Why? Because she'd punish me? No, because she loves me too much, and I will not go against her. Oh, then she's going to just make you, she's going to ground you if you don't. No, doesn't matter. I don't want to do that because I love her. She loves me. You see, the motivation for obedience and fellowship with God as a citizen of heaven is not fear-induced. It is a new motivation. It is love bought. It's love purchased. And when you understand how much he loves you, it changes your heart. Not just forgive sin. It changes hearts. You see how powerful that is? That sacrifice is infinitely valuable to God. You say, you know, Wayne, that's so true. But what about those tendencies? Because I still, my heart's there, but I have tendencies and I slip. How do you get it? How do you break it? Well, you see, the old habits that I have and you have are like ruts. You know, if a truck goes in this field again and again and again, there's little ruts the tires make. And after the sun comes out and bakes the ground, those ruts harden. And if you're riding a bicycle, it kind of pulls your front wheels into boom, boom. And it's hard when you're going over those ruts. It has a tendency that those ruts pull you in. There's like a pull, a vortex, a magnetic pull, a temptation. And because your front wheels have volition or movement or choice, your back tire is fixed, but it'll pull not your back, it pulls your front, because anything that has volition, ruts pull because it can turn. God gave us volition because he wants a love relationship with us, and you can't love, truly love, unless you have a choice in the matter. If there's no choice in the matter, it's not true love. God wanted a true, not fake, not pretend, but a true love relationship with us. So he gave us volition, which means there's going to be some ruts. But when you go over them, do you have to go the old way, slip back into them? No. Will there be a tendency to? Yeah. Well, how do you break out of that? How do you break through it? You hang on to those handlebars real tight. Then you're going to feel the bump. But you have a new direction. You're thinking different. You have a new motivation. And you bump over those ruts and you're making a new pathway of righteousness, not unrighteousness. Will the tendency be there to pull you in? Yep. But here's how you change. Would you write in number three? You got to make a choice to change. You have to choose to change. We have to choose to change. So you hang on to those things, those handlebars, and it'll bump. But watch this. After a while, the first few times, there'll be a bump. You want to go do the things you did in the beginning. But you think, no, that's not me anymore. That's not my heart. That's not my mind. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to end up someone I don't want to become in the end. No. I'm going to hang on. And you know, after a while, rains will come. The old ruts will start to fill in. It'll erode a little bit, vanish away, and the new pathway will start to be developed. And after a while, you can't see the old ruts anymore. There's a new pathway that's cross towards God's way. You'll think differently. And here's the joy of heaven, where one day my first tendency is not what I used to do. My first tendency is to do what God wants me to do. The old has passed away. Truly, the new has come. There's a transition time for that. And we have to choose. We've got to set our heart on. We've got to use our volition to go his way. But that's all a part of a love partnership as citizens of the kingdom. But you choose to change. And that's why Peter says, let's read the scripture in 1 Peter 2:1. Go. So get rid of all malicious behavior and deceit. Don't just pretend to be good. Be done with hypocrisy and jealousy. Yeah, you say, well, Wayne, then how's it, what will strengthen me to make that choice in a new way? Because my heart's there. She's got to get rid of these tendencies. Well, not only number one is what we talked about. When you slip, don't excuse, don't defend, repent. But the other is this. You hang on to those handlebars and choose, even though the thinking is different and the calling is another way, you stay strong. Well, what'll strengthen me? Would you write down in that bullet? What's going to make me grow? Watch this now. Listen, Christian music is wonderful. It'll confirm you and affirm you, but it won't make you grow. Christian jewelry is nice. It helps you to identify as who you are, but it won't make you grow. You can put a bumper sticker on your car about Jesus. That's nice, but it won't help you grow. I've got one. I've got a license plate thing, but I tell you, it won't help me grow. Even attending church will not guarantee that you'll grow. You have to remember, even the mafia go church every weekend. What is it that's going to help us grow? What is it? Would you write in that last bullet, the Bible makes us grow. The scripture says in Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable, listen, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man and the woman of God be adequate and equipped for every good work. What will train me in righteousness? The Word of God. And let's read what the next verse says in Peter here. 1 Peter 2:2, go. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to... Here's your assignment this week. If you haven't started on daily devotions, can I encourage you to either join a life group or start one? Go to the bookstore, get a journal. It'll be the best $5 you've ever spent. And in it is a Bible bookmarker that'll tell you what you're reading. Like just yesterday, we finished Psalm 15, the book of Exodus, going through the book of Acts. And then you read a portion of scripture, then you write in the journal what God is saying to you. Then you apply it. If you applied one thing God is saying to you every day after a whole year, you will have 365 gems packed away in your life. Do you know how much richer you'll be in one year? What makes you grow is the Word of God, listening to what He's saying, applying it to your life, seated at His feet. So begin to make that choice as this new season begins, and it will help you to grow. And here's one that'll help you to stay away from falling backwards, is when you slip, and here's your assignment for this week. Are you ready? When you slip this week and you make a mistake or you say something or even think something, say to yourself, that's not what I want to be. That's not what I want to say. That's not who I want to become. Don't excuse it. Don't defend it. Instead, just what? That's the best thing you can do. Make sure you do that, all right? Because if you don't, I'll come down there and put a red mark on your hand. Let's stand together. Thank you. Let's bow our heads as we conclude in prayer. Lord, thanks so much for a wonderful family. We're all learning together, and we're human, we're frail, but we're understanding your grace and we're defining it correctly, that it's not just something that tolerates stuff. No, it's something powerful that delivers us from stuff. Your grace is wonderful. Thank you, Father, for helping us to be men and women that are growing by the Word of God every single day, teaching us the gift of repentance, the powerful tool you've given us of repentance, so that we can do away with the old and truly become people whose not only hearts are in the kingdom, but whose behavior is the same. And when that happens and our tendency is to do your bidding, our first intention, our first tendency, our first proclivity is to do your will. Oh, what a joyful day that'll be. We don't want to be those who wake up one day and realize by defending us ourselves and making an excuse or blaming others, we don't want to wake up one day to find that we become someone we despise. Lord, help us to be people of repentance. Help us to be people who understand your grace. Help us to be people who think the way you want us to think and who realize the ransom you paid and how much you love us. That doesn't just change our actions, that transforms our hearts. There's no God like you. Only a God like you. He can change us like that. How grateful we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank the Lord with a clap offering.
Only a God like you could be worthy.
have just heard the conclusion of the message, A Different Drum, by Pastor Wade Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us. Until the same time, next time, for Pastor Wade Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.